your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everyone. This is Stephanie of The Gathering.
And this is Heidi. Welcome to our Tuesday night show here on the Para-X Network.
Yes. And it's the week after we actually got everybody together for a fourth anniversary celebration.
Finally.
Yay. And I've been remiss in not getting that up on our website, but I will do that today or tomorrow for sure.
Yes, we'll have it up for you. It was a fun show.
It was a fun show.
A ton of people in the chat room and in the studio.
Yeah. It was so fun. We had a lot of our, you know, ghost dance was there. You know, we just had a ton of people there, and we made Ghost Dance talk, which he still is talking about. He always says, they made me do it. It's all good. But yeah, so tonight we are broadcasting from Superfan Anita's house. Yay! And actually, we have kind of an audience tonight, too. So we have Anita and Ron and Casey is here, and we're having another live show. So people, if you have questions, comments, let us know.
This is becoming a thing, like live shows, I think.
I know. See, Ghost Dance is saying they made me do it again. See, because we forced him up and put the headset on his head and made him talk.
Yes. I don't know that it was quite like that, but it was fun to have him up and talking.
It was really fun. So what a week this has been. I feel just really discombobulated. So if I sound that way, I have a feeling Heidi's a little that way too.
For yourself.
I'm just, you know, commenting. Because we've both been here for a long time and we're still not really quite ready for the show tonight.
Well, and I am a little out of sorts because I forgot my computer.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I'm... Shocking, it snowed today. And when I'm thinking about getting, you know, to the studio quick, and I'm like leaving early because it takes, you know, a while with the snow and everything. And so I'm racing and getting all my stuff, and I'm halfway in, and I realize I forgot my computer. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my goodness. So it either means I go home and do it from home, which you can't do on a Superfan Anita night.
No.
Or I just have to dig out my old computer that thankfully was still at the studio. I haven't brought it home. And I actually dug a headset out of the garbage.
I love that story. I can't believe you just threw it away and it still happened to be there.
It did. It was weird because I just threw it away out of my other computer bag because this doesn't work with that computer and I didn't even think about it. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm just going to get rid of it. It's a cheap headset. And I threw it away like less than a week ago and I didn't take the garbage out because there's not much there. And I'm realizing that I have no headset in my other computer bag. And then I was like, oh my God, I bet it's still in the garbage. I dug it out.
You know, Mike says it sounds actually pretty good. So, well, he says it doesn't sound too bad. So maybe you should keep that one to keep with this computer.
Maybe.
Don't put it back in the trash. You need to save it.
Well, not anymore.
I was digging through my cupboards for an old one of mine and I found an old work headset that's not a Jabra. I mean, it's probably from 5 years ago when we were still with our other company. And the little foamy thing was off, but I was going to bring it with in case he was laughing. And she's like, really, Mom? And I said, well, if I remember, it still works really good. Oh, whatever. You know, we try to dig out things that we might have that might work a little bit if, you know, whatever. We all have those days.
Yep, absolutely. But as long as it's working, we're good.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So here in Minnesota, the weather has been just tremendous. We've had more snow and more snow and more snow.
Aren't we up to about 40 inches this month? I think it's about 40 inches, almost, if it's not 40 inches, it's close to 40 inches just this month that we've had in Minnesota. So all of you that are not in Minnesota, jealous, aren't you?
And it's been like within the last 3 weeks, too. It's not even been like stretched out. It's been like every other day, it seems to snow a little more. And this weekend, we had drifts, you know, up to my hips. And my shoulder was hurting so bad because I have bursitis. I had to go to my doctor yesterday who gave me a big cortisone shot in my shoulder. So thank you. And it's not feeling better yet. He said, you know, you got to love doctors when they do this because they put that shot in there and then it's almost done. And he says, now, if I were you, I would take Advil a few times a day because sometimes this really hurts for a few days before it really starts working. And I'm like, well, now you tell me. And he's I'm not going to tell you before because then you won't do it.
Yeah, right.
I'm just like, oh my gosh. But yeah, the snow is ridiculous.
It is. It's awful.
Ridiculous. So Casey and I have had a lot of TV time going on this last couple of days, which brings us to our subject of the show tonight. But first, I just wanted to say a friend of ours who actually used to be on the Sim Crew passed away suddenly in the last couple of days. And Andrew Jaffe was his name, and we all knew him as Jaffe, and he was only 37.
Gosh, that's young.
He was on our team for a couple of years. Jerry worked with him at T-Mobile, and he was awesome. In fact, you know, one of our favorite things that he said on an investigation was he was really new to the team, and we were at this very active place, and he said they heard something they thought was paranormal, and what he said was, oh my God, I was not paranormal. And it was in front of our clients. Oh, anything. And we just laughed. You know, it was the funniest thing. And then one other time he said they had some activity going on. He was with Jerry and he forgot to turn on the camera. So they had all this going on. And then he said, you're going to kill me because I forgot to turn on the camera.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, so. You know, whatever. It's really sad. You know, it's hard. It's shocking when somebody young passes away.
Yeah, that's too bad. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. And, you know, my condolences go out to his friends and family.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, after that, what I will say is, so Casey and I actually went to Redbox, where I haven't been for a long time because I just never have time to look at movies. But we rented several. And one of the ones that we rented was The Thin Man.
Slender Man.
Oh, sorry. Everybody's laughing at me.
Your headset's cutting in and out. Sorry, everybody. Your headset's cutting in and out. I don't know. But we have people in the chat room saying the same thing. So, but yeah, you said that you had watched the Slender Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen it. I haven't seen it for, when did it come out? A couple years ago?
Probably. So you saw it too.
Yeah, I saw it. Of course I saw it. Had to go see it. But yeah, that brought up the topic of urban legends. Mm-hmm. And so we thought we would talk about that tonight because it's an interesting topic. And if anything, it just gets people's attention. Yeah. Like, because everybody knows an urban legend or has had maybe even some kind of experience with one or more of them. You know, I mean, we were talking about Slender Man and then it brought up Bloody Mary, classic mm-hmm. urban legend. And I don't know one person on this planet that hasn't done Bloody Mary.
Right.
And if you say I haven't done it, then then I'll know one person. But yeah, everybody has had some kind of either discussion or, you know, dabbling, don't you think, into some urban legend. Yeah.
I do. So we thought we would look up some urban legends from around.
Well, from all over.
From all over. And I actually found a website that has an urban legend in every state. And since we're in Minnesota, we might as well talk about this. The one from Minnesota was about the Virgus Trails monster, which, you know, when we go to Paracon, is really close to the Virgus Trails up near, I believe that's up more closer to Fergus Falls. But people have been telling me about that place forever, can I just say, and I've never had the time to get up there to actually see what's going on, but I've heard about paranormal things. But one of the things that I have heard about a lot was they talk about the hairy man. And so I found an actual story. So this website that has all of the Every state has its crazy urban legends, and some of them are really crazy. But this is the Hairy Man of the Burgess Trail. If anybody out there has heard of this in Minnesota, let me know. But they talk about an 8-foot, musty, smelling, barefoot man with a reputation for being unnaturally aggressive. And people encounter him in the woods all the time, and they really don't know what it is. They're saying that sightings trace back to the 1960s and had a significant increase in the 70s and still happened from time to time. Some say it was an old hermit living in the woods who wasn't too happy with the kids wandering around, and others say he's real cool point, and they point to a mysterious skull discovered in the Vargas Trail area that is human-like but not hominid. So what's that? I have heard about that too, and I can't remember what town that's in, but I have heard about the skull. It was discovered by a private citizen who didn't turn it over, so no one knows if it's human, Bigfoot, animal, or hoax. But I heard about something that's in another town up close to there too that they actually have in a museum somewhere. I don't know the details, but interesting. And it's interesting that people have told me these stories. You know, at Paracon, every single year, somebody tells me about the Vargas Trails. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I had never, when you mentioned that, I had never heard of that. Mm-hmm. And so then it kind of sounds like Bigfoot.
It does.
You know, but I think it's also interesting that it's only for a short period of time because mm-hmm. there really isn't much mm-hmm. recently. So I wonder if it was some guy, you know.
That, like a real hermit or something.
And he's not living anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's where can it create an urban legend? Yes, because now, you know, can it create some kind of hysteria where people go out to this area and they think they see one because they know of the legend and they, mm-hmm. you know, think mm-hmm. that they manifest it in their head or whatever. Yeah. So I don't know. I think it's interesting but I had never heard of that. So.
Well, and you know, like I said, so many people have told me about it over the years. Even this year, I'm pretty sure people were telling me about that Vargas Trail and you guys got to get down to the Vargas Trail. You know, and we have so many places to go, Heidi. It's hard. We can never get to them all.
Just in Minnesota. Yeah
just in Minnesota.
Mike in the chat room is asking, where is this trail?
It's up, I believe it's up just kind of north of Faribault. If you look on a map, or not Faribault, I'm sorry, Fergus Falls. If you look on a map for Fergus Falls, it's in between Fergus Falls and Detroit Lakes.
Okay.
There's a trail up there, and you can see it. It's on the maps.
Okay.
So it would be fun to go there. But they say there's a lot of paranormal activity there, too, as well.
Well.
And I think I've heard UFO activity up there, too. I mean, it's kind of tribal. I mean, there's kind of like just about everything you can imagine on this trail. So what is it about this trail that, you know, attracts all this stuff?
Well, and maybe just that area is some kind mm-hmm. of a portal or vortex mm-hmm. or some kind of energy, land energy mm-hmm. that's just allowing multiple things to manifest mm-hmm. or be drawn in.
Exactly. Hmm. Exactly. It's kind
interesting.
Of interesting. Oh, so Mike's saying he's been there. Yep. It's cool.
Well, I think, you know, and because I wonder about urban legends in, you know, you talk about every state and then I think, oh, okay, Minnesota, what does Minnesota have? I don't know that Minnesota has other than something like that, which I didn't even know about, but any kind of one big, real, you know,
Yeah.
urban legend, do you, I mean?
I mean, we have a lot of ghost stories, a lot of stories, you know, like there's that one about the woman who killed her kids, threw them in the river or something. And they say, if you still go there, the tree is still there. And then she hung herself or something. And I don't even know where it is, but the Sim crew was going to go down there and see if we could find it. But I couldn't even tell you what town it's in now because I don't have the information in front of me. But, you know, I remember my mom used to always tell us about right over on the Camden Bridge here in North Minneapolis. There was back in the day, there was like a store that had like an upper story where the people who owned the store lived. The store caught on fire. And so to save the children from burning, the mom threw them out the window and they landed and drowned in the Mississippi. And they say if you still go there to this day, you can hear their screams.
Oh.
It'd be fun to investigate that and see if we can hear anything, you know?
Yeah, just check it out and see if there's anything there. And, you know, just so nobody thinks that we're out for the... Because I like to... Mm-hmm. My disclaimer, I'm not out to use spirit suffering for my own personal enjoyment. That's not how I roll. So when I do go to these things, and I know you're the same way, if there is something there, you know, that we can capture on some kind of evidence, but then also, can we help, you know, if you're really stuck here, do you want to go? Do you want to leave? What can we do? So anyway.
Yeah, we do that quite often. So, but yeah, it's a good urban legend, and that's right here in the city. You know, they say, of course, down on the Mississippi, down by River Place, there's a lot of spirits too, which, yeah, I can feel them. The problem is it's really hard to investigate there because it's really loud. It's really noisy. It's really loud. There's a lot of people there. So I'm not sure you could really pull off a really good investigation there.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, even at night,
it's really loud. We've been there. You know, and there's that whole, there was a island in the middle of the river there called Spirit Island. Well, that's underwater now, but we went there once, and you can, if you walk the footbridge, it's somewhere around there, but it's just so loud. I mean, even in the middle of the night down there, that you can't get anything on the voice recorders. All you hear is the river, you know?
Yep.
So, but interesting stuff. But yeah, Minnesota has its lore, you know, and then there's the whole Lake Superior thing. You know, they say that the lake is really a spirit, you know, which is cool. I've heard that many times. You know, from the Ojibwa all the way down to white, you know, the French fur traders and people who live up there now. So, yeah, there's a lot of lore here in Minnesota.
So this Slender Man.
Yeah.
I want to get back to Slender Man because that was that movie that you just watched. Yeah. Now, what was the, if you can say what the premise of the movie was, like how does Slender Man come about?
Well, so in the movie, there's these four high school girls who are together on a Friday night, and they were saying that the guys that they're friends with were in somebody's garage calling for the Slender Man. So they said, well, what is that? So then they looked it up on the internet, and they found this video that's kind of a shocking video, and it's got like a million different images, you know those kind. Apparently, if you call for Slender Man and you have to blindfold yourself or something, and then you hear a bell, and then you hear another bell, and then once you've heard the third bell, you take the blindfold off, and he's there, but he takes you, right? So they were into this, and one of them was into it a little bit more, and she kept chatting with people online and kept talking about it, and she disappeared. And it was the Slender Man who took her. So one by one, all the rest of them were killed by the Slender Man as well. So... And, you know, the Slender Man is in the middle of that whole, remember a year or two ago, there was that, down in Wisconsin, there were those two teenage girls who stabbed a friend of theirs like 19 times.
Yeah.
And they said the Slender Man told them to do it.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so it's interesting, too, because I know that Slender Man is usually associated with outdoors, you know, the forest or the woods or whatever, because that isn't that the thing? And and really, you know, any kind of history that I'm trying to find on Slender Man is non-existent.
No.
And it's one of those things that, you know, because of the internet, the beauty of the internet, you know, some of this stuff can just spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're looking at Slender Man history, you know, going back to only what I think they've only said like 2009, you know, not that long.
Yeah.
So it's almost a figment of our imagination through the internet. Mm-hmm. But what's really interesting is this was probably 10 or 12 years ago now. So maybe around that time, which I was not on the internet. Like, I don't know. I mean, I know, I mean, obviously I was on the internet, but you know, I wouldn't have known about something like this, but I had a client in downtown Minneapolis. And this was back when I didn't have my studio yet, so I would go to people's houses.
Yeah, I can't imagine doing that, Heidi. You are a brave girl, I just got to say.
Well, I knew who they were before I went.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, good.
Oh, no, no, no. I'm not just showing up to strangers' house.
Cranky man, you know,
No, I'm not, no. Okay. And it was this gal that I had done some readings for, and then she had said, hey, can you come do Reiki at my place? And I, sure. Yes. And so I get to her, she had a condo in downtown Minneapolis. And so I set up, and I had been there at this point to do Reiki probably 3 or 4 times already. So I had been there before. I was familiar with the area and the layout and everything. And I was doing Reiki with her, and her condo building was kind of weird. I mean, you know, there's a lot of energy in downtown Minneapolis anyway, right? And so I had been to her condo, and there was just some weird units, weird floors, weird whatever. And she was, I don't know, on 7th or 8th floor, you know, so she was up there. And I'm doing Reiki, and we were in her living room. She had a 1-bedroom condo, huge living room with big open windows. It was beautiful. And I was there probably as it was just getting dark, you know, when I set up. And then, because this is when I was still working my day job. Mm-hmm. So I was doing it, you know, it was at night. Mm-hmm. And it was just getting dark. So by the time we were doing her session, it was dark outside. So it was kind of dark in there. And we just had a few little lights on and some candles. And all of a sudden, I was, I don't know, I was just in the zone of doing Reiki. Mm-hmm. And intuitively, I get put on high alert.
Oh.
You know, and I mean, there we had our protection set up because we want, you know, keep a safe space no matter where we are. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, I'm on high alert, and I start looking around energetically, you know, mm-hmm. through my mind's eye. I'm looking around, mm-hmm. and I am guided out to look into the hallway. So it's like the wall disappears between the condo and the hallway, and I can see that out there someone is coming down the hall, but it's not a human. And so the wall kind of goes back up, and I'm now in my body again. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, high protections. And I look, and you know, under the slot under the door that has light, I see someone walk and stand in front of the door on the other side. And you can see the shadow of the feet, you know, of the legs. And so I'm like, oh my God, someone's standing right outside the door.
Man. Yeah.
And my spirit guides are on like full tilt boogie. This point, right? They're like, oh my gosh, high alert. And intuitively, I look out and I see this really, really tall, skinny man in a suit. And I'm like,
did he have a face?
No.
It
was like a blank head.
Slenderman.
That's what I'm saying. And I didn't know who the Slender Man was then. Because I mean, granted, it was made up or whatever.
Right.
But I didn't know who it was anyway. And I never, because I didn't know what it, I just saw this really tall, thin, skinny man in a suit, and I couldn't really see his face.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's really disturbing. And like his head was above where the door top was.
Yeah.
And, but I still couldn't, like, I'm looking through the wall at this point, and I shut it down. And what happened is I'm still doing Reiki with this client, and another me is out on the side of the door doing protections and clearing and making him go away. And he did. He left. And then I'm back in and I'm working with my client. And I told her at the end, I said, something isn't right. I said, and I told her what happened. And she said, I don't know why that doesn't surprise me. And she hadn't seen anything like that, but she wasn't surprised. And she goes, I don't know, but there's down the hall, there's this lady who lives there and there's this weird energy. Like she's weird and weird energy comes out of her place. And I thought, well, maybe that's connected to her. I don't know. But what was even weirder is I walked past her place and I could feel the energy of that like man in her condo. Like, I don't know why he would be in there. I have no idea why he's connected. I don't know. But when I went down to the visitor parking in their garage, their underground garage, she comes out of the shadows.
This woman that lives in the
woman,
weird world?
She comes out of the shadows over by like the dumpster, but not putting dumpster like stuff in the dumpster on the side that you're supposed to be on. She comes from the other side, climbing out from the other side, and she's sneaking along the wall and she's staring at me the whole time with these, kind of with these crazy eyes. And she's sliding along the wall, and then I look and she's not there, and then she's sliding along a different wall, and I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
No kidding.
But it was weird because I was telling someone else that story. I don't know. It was a couple of years later. And he said, oh, do you think it was a Slender Man? And I go, Slender Man, who's that? And he's like, oh, you haven't heard of Slender Man? I'm like, no. And he kind of told me about it. I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would he be there? Why would he be in this condo in downtown Minneapolis, right?
Right.
It was weird because then I started seeing images and then the movies and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, that's what I saw.
I'm really scared, Heidi. Can I just say?
Isn't that cool?
It is cool. It is cool. But I hope I never see the Slender Man.
I mean, still.
That's just creepiness all over the place.
I went back again.
I remember Slithering Woman. Maybe she had something to do with it.
I wonder.
Maybe
there
was manifesting people or, you know, something.
There was all sorts of stuff coming out of her apartment, like her condo. But I went down there again, and I didn't see him. She had me back for a few more sessions after that, and I didn't see him. And I never saw the woman again either, but I could still feel the energy coming out of her unit.
Yeah, Karen's saying, did you go back? Yeah, apparently she did.
I did, yeah.
Icky caca, can I just say. It is a cool story. But yeah, I think I would have ran the other way. You were chased away by her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend. No. Boyfriend without a body, yeah, I guess. Oh. Yeah, it was. That was. So that's my only Slender Man, not Slender Man story.
Yeah.
That I have that I don't even know if it was.
I've heard of him before this movie. I mean, I heard about this murder in Wisconsin, and I knew it was something like this, but I didn't associate the name with that. We also watched that movie, The Nun. Have you seen that? So it's the, yeah. It's like the predecessor of The Conjuring, I guess. I've never seen The Conjuring either, so.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh,
so we watched this. Yeah, so yeah, that was kind of a crazy show, too. And then we watched Beauty and the Beast. Because we had to have a happy
one. You know, to take the edge off.
That's right. That's right.
So but Sherry in the chat room was saying she thought to be an early 1900, in the early 1900s, the Slender Man.
So if that's from the early 1900s, then it just can't be a, you know, internet web age only.
No, I would wonder what the reference is, though, that long ago. Because I haven't seen any. I mean, I've been trying to research and I did
a lot of research, too. And I could only find that it was, you know, it was an internet thing that was made up by some teenagers and whatever.
You know, and it's an interesting point that I think, who did, Cats, I think, oops, I don't have a mouse right now either, you guys, so just bear with me here. That Kat made, I can't get my computer to scroll back, but I think she made some comments about it being daring, you know, like that you take these urban legends mm-hmm. and use them mm-hmm. to dare
your double dog, dare your friends to do it.
Yeah, and like, oh, and she said rite of passage. I'm not finding it because I...
Yeah, I was looking for it too, but yeah. No, I mean, it's true.
But so it's you take some of these... like we were talking, what was it called? The dollhouse or
yeah.
This, you know, and I said, well, what, why is it so, it's abandoned and nobody, you know, nobody lives there and it's supposed to be this. And I said, well, why is it so scary? Well, apparently the woman that lived there murdered her children and stuffed them in the walls or something. Right. And I'm like, come on, really? Like, where does that come from? Like, did it actually happen?
I'd like to know. Did it actually happen? Yeah, I don't know.
And then, but is it one of those things that, you know, as soon as one kid makes it up or someone makes it up or they twist something, like maybe some old lady died in the house, maybe she died. But then, so someone died in the house and then you turn it into this and then you turn it into that and it keeps getting passed on and changed or whatever.
And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
And then, and then it becomes, as soon as kids get a hold of it, it spreads like wildfire. And then everybody, you know, when you're having your slumber party at your friends and you have to sneak out and go to the haunted house, and then whoever can go in there and stay the longest is the big winner, you know, or the big, you know, the head of the group from now until eternity.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting how this stuff kind of takes off and has a life of its own when there is nothing in reality as far as we can as far as we know sometimes.
Sorry. I'm trying to shut off my phone and then I make it ring instead. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, it is. And and it almost always focuses on kids and young adults, right?
Yeah. Well, because I don't know if it's because I wouldn't say they're easier to freak out, but you know, you get kids watching movies or teenagers watching movies, and then they tell their friends, and they wonder if it's true, and let's try it, da-da-da, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Now, Kat's saying the Slender Man is a fictional supernatural character that originated as a creepypasta internet meme created by Something Awful Forums user Eric Knudsen.
That's what I was finding, too.
Yep.
But then Mike is saying that there was a 1930s movie, The Thin Man. What I don't know what that is. If he's joking, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he's also saying kids get power over other kids if they appear braver than others.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But so that, I thought that was an interesting. It's this urban legend, you know, that is really an internet sensation.
Phenomena. Yep. Well, and then Kat's saying, shadow people have been around a bit longer, so who knows? But to suggest it's Topa, why aren't kids seeing Mickey Mouse, Santa, Easter Bunny, and Edward the Sparkly Vampire? Well, you know, who knows? Who knows?
So here's another thing that came up recently. This is also going with this urban legend thing. I was asked if I believe in the Dybbuk box.
The what?
Right. That's what I said. I went,
what is it called?
Dybbuk box.
Okay.
And it's, I believe, spelled D-Y-B-B-U-K. Dybbuk box. Okay. And I said, I don't know what that is. And it's supposed to be a haunted box, right?
Oh.
And it's supposed to be a wine box, which is haunted by a dybbuk, which is a restless, usually malicious spirit believed to be able to haunt and even possess the living.
In a wine box.
And so here it is on these shows. On these shows.
That we're people pointing have at Anita and Ron with their wine glasses here. Yeah.
They have wine glasses. Yes, they do. But here's, I'm looking, because I got pulled into this TV show. Look, they have a Dybbuk box and there's this demon in it or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've never heard of this.
Right.
I said, I suppose anything can be haunted. Anything could have an attachment, whatever.
Right. Right.
What's this, what's the big deal about this, whatever it's called, I said.
Yeah.
Well, this is a really, really old wine box. It has this spirit, really, really old demon or whatever, and it's haunted, and just people found it and whatever, and I'm like, okay. So I looked it up.
Yeah.
Same thing. It was apparently an item that was auctioned on eBay originally, right, accompanied by a horror story written by some guy, and is the original inspiration for the 2012 film, The Possession. So it's not old. It was created for the internet. And it was actually something, it sounds like, that he was trying to sell on eBay. He made it up.
Oh.
But then here comes, you know, people catch wind of it. They start spreading talking about it, sure. Whatever. Or someone thinks, oh, I'm going to make one or tell people this is. And then people start thinking it is one.
Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many paranormal shows I've seen where people they have these Dybbuk boxes or on the YouTube or whatever. And they're like, no, it's real. I'm like, well, I guess.
I've never heard that until tonight. Interesting. What are you showing? Oh, Dybbuk boxes. Casey's pulling this up here. On eBay.
And I'm sorry, but if you're going to buy one, that means you want to buy with a malicious spirit.
And it's kind of like the dolls with the spirits. Remember we talked about that whole thing too, spirit vessels. But so Sherry is saying now that Zach owns the Dybbuk box. Well, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
It's probably a museum of his out there in Vegas. You know? I don't know. That's crazy.
Well, and the Dybbuk box. There's tons of them out there because people are making them left and right.
Yeah.
So it could be one that he investigated or, you know, and it's not to say that there wouldn't be something to it because anything can have an attachment or a spirit, like I said. But anyway, I think it's interesting that, that came up recently and I was like, a what?
Did I haven't heard that before, so.
Yeah. So it's not like it's a real, you know, someone dug it out of their
internet legend.
Right. You know, they dug it out of some wine cellar in Italy and now it's this. You know, it just keeps winding up in people's basements and then their lives are destroyed and whatever, and it keeps moving. No. But interesting because it's all over the place now as a real thing.
The Dybbuk box. Dybbuk box. Yeah. Oh, you know what? We're 3 minutes past our break time, so we need to go to break. We will be back in 2 minutes. The Gathering here at the Para X Radio.
This is Aaron Kimball from Ghost Adventures, and you're listening to Para-X Radio.
What happens to a ghost when their home is torn down? No one thinks of the disembodied when they rip down old buildings, dig up cemeteries, and build clean, unhauntable condos. Every year, hundreds of spirits are driven out of their own haunts by the careless living to exist alone with no one to scare. At Para-X Radio, our hosts feel the plight of these evicted disembodied, and we're reaching out to you to please open your heart to one of these lost souls, such as the ghost soldier of the General Wayne Inn or the abandoned spirit cat of Benjamin Rush. So please, please, let a little spooky into your life. Won't you open your house to a ghost without a home?
Para-X.
I am horror author James Hershey Jr. from the Staring Into the Abyss radio show. Check out the book that started it all. What critics called the scariest book of the year. I am Legion. you're still breathing, check out the other two books in the series, The Surrogate of Souls and The Rise of the Revenant. These books will scare the hell out of you. That, I promise.
Welcome back to the gathering here on the ParaX Network. We're talking about urban legends, and we were talking about the spirit, Slenderman. And the Dybbuk box, and how those were basically, it, we believe, started on the internet and have taken off and become these urban legends that people believe are real, or actually could be now real, because we have manifested them. You know, I wonder if that's possible. Well, I know it's possible, but I wonder if it has actually happened where people have gone into this place or this state where they actually have had some kind of connection.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's interesting.
I do.
So what was the other one? Oh, we were talking about before the show, Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. And how does that story go too? So it has to be young teenage guys, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Why does it have to be guys?
I don't know. I thought it was boys or something. And they stand in front of the mirror and they say, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. Casey's looking at me like, what do you know about this, Casey? Nothing. Have you tried it?
Everybody's tried it. Everybody. Okay, everybody except the other two people.
Okay, well, you know.
So I've done it. I haven't had any success. I've had zero success, unless it manifested itself at some other time and not while I was sitting in the mirror with the lights off.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible, I guess, because I've had a hell of a lot of other stuff happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that it was just delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So she's said to appear in the mirror. Bloody Mary is said to appear in a mirror when her name is chanted repeatedly. Oh, I thought it was three times.
I thought it was three times too. And well, don't you say something besides Bloody Mary? Bloody Mary, or is it just Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary? Do you have it up on your screen? Because I don't remember what it was.
I don't have much here. Let me see here.
Yeah, I don't remember. If anybody in the chat room remembers how to do this, Mike looks like he's done it. Can I just say?
It's done by repeatedly chanting her name into a mirror placed in a dimly lit or candle lit room. It's called go into the bathroom and turn off the lights. That's what I thought. And in some traditions, that her name must be repeated 13 times or other specific number of times. The Bloody Mary apparition allegedly appears as a corpse, witch, or ghost, and can be friendly or evil, and sometimes seen covered in blood. The lore surrounding the ritual states that participants may endure the apparition screaming at them, cursing them, or strangling them, stealing their soul, drinking their blood, or scratching their eyes out. Well, that sounds like a fun game. I'm so glad I did that. I had no idea that those were all the options.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that sounds not very good.
So, yeah, there's a bunch of different variations of this. The modern edition of taunting Bloody Mary regarding her baby indicates the legendary figure's issue with the Queen Mary, also known as Bloody Mary, whose life was marked by a number of miscarriages or false pregnancies and is remembered for her violent religious reforms. Well, I don't know. Let's see here. So what they're saying, the reason that people think it works, they said, this is explained here, staring into a mirror in a dimly lit room for a prolonged period can cause one to hallucinate. I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I guess you could, you know, if you stare at something long enough.
If you're chanting the same thing over and over again, I can see where you maybe go into an altered state.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said facial features may appear to melt, distort, disappear, rotate, while others, while other hallucinatory elements such as animals or strange faces may appear. So I suppose you could be going into an altered state if you're sitting there in the dark and chanting something over and over and over and kind of just zoning out, staring.
Yep.
Although here's the deal. I wouldn't do that in a mirror because mirrors are doorways.
Well, absolutely.
So I don't know who you're going to get, but you may not get her. You may get someone else or someone that'll say that they're
It's kind of like a portal, like a Ouija board kind of sort of. Yeah, you just got to go.
Well, that's actually what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're sitting there chanting for some apparition to appear.
Exactly.
Don't be surprised when something comes through.
I mean, this is why we take pictures of mirrors when we're on paranormal investigations, people, is because sometimes you get some crazy thing in there that you didn't see when you were there. You know?
Yep. So, I mean, that whole Bloody Mary thing, I think works.
Probably.
But it may not be who
maybe
you think it is.
Really bad. Really bad.
Well, Bloody Mary doesn't sound good anyway.
No. But, I mean, maybe it's something that's even worse than old Bloody Mary, you know?
Right.
Old Bloody Mary.
Yikes.
Oh, my goodness. What a craziness been going on. But, yeah, so, yeah, these weird things. And, I mean, you know, these things are passed down from kids. And it always has to do with kids, right? It's always kids, young teenagers, young children.
Well, and, too, I think, like Kat said in the chat room, it's this rite of passage thing. You know,
yes.
I mean, I would... bet that the first time I did it was at a slumber party, you know, with my friends.
That's where we do the light as a feather, stiff as a board, too.
Which we still do to this day.
Which we are going to do that. Absolutely.
Yes, we are.
So bad, we have to come up with a date, but we are going to do that.
But I think, too, like you said, you know, you get together, these, you know, kids get together, and we're trying to see, like, who's the tough one? Who's who's least scared, you know, or trying to scare your friends, like who's going to be the most scared. And so you come up with whatever you can find, you know, scrounging around old wives tales, old urban legends, whatever. And you, you pull all the stops out at the slumber party, you know, and it's who can freak your friends out the most.
Exactly. And it's always done in the dark, you know, cause people really feel the dark, fear the dark. Always.
Oh, for sure.
And I think the reason they come out of the woods is people are afraid of the woods in the dark, too, which, you know, they can be a scary place. I mean, I've been out there looking for the big guy.
Oh, yeah, they can be.
It is kind of unnerving. So well, I can totally understand why.
Well, because we can't see well. Humans can't see well in the dark. Mm-hmm. And that just really heightens our awareness of how vulnerable we are. And so anything in the dark is going to be scarier. You know,
exactly.
But I'm just curious if anybody in the chat room has ever had any success with the whole mirror thing, the Bloody Mary. So let us know if you have, because
I'd like to hear the story.
Yeah, I do like to hear the stories, as long as nobody got hurt. I mean, if you did get hurt, I'm sorry, but I just like to hear the stories because it's so interesting, you know, when you have these experiences that, you know, how do you know about Bloody Mary when you're a little kid, other than it's, you know, your friends talk about it?
Yeah.
It's not like your parents are telling you about this. It's just your friends.
Have you ever noticed in these movies where these things are going on, the parents are never around? It's like these parents have nothing to do with their kids. They have no idea what these kids are doing. I mean, really?
Well, that's why we have... the movie is made at the bad family house. I mean, they're not going to make the movie at the good family
house.
That's
true, yeah.
Because then there's no movie. So, yeah, of course their parents aren't paying attention, because then we wouldn't have a movie. But I think it happens a lot anyway, where parents are paying attention, but here's slumber party.
Right, so they walk away and the kids are having to go to bed and, you know.
Having a little secret, you know, fort going, and then you're all sitting there telling ghost stories or whatever.
I suppose.
It's interesting how this stuff keeps going, and it's not like, I mean, my parents didn't tell me about that.
No.
I know I had to have heard about it from a friend.
Do you have older siblings, right?
No, I'm the oldest one.
Oh, you're the oldest in your family. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I had my brother Chris, and he loved to scare the heck out of me. So I'm pretty
sure he
told me some doozies, right?
But then he would have been told by his friends. It wasn't his parents telling him.
The whole thing. Yes. Oh, yes. My brother Chris loved to scare me. So, yeah, absolutely. Well, interesting. Very, very cool. But, you know, so I found this website, and this has nothing to do with any of that, but I just got it. You know, we talked about last week when we had our anniversary special, one of the things that came up was the vampire thing, and everybody likes to talk about vampires. Well, out of the 50 states, you know, these creepy legends and stuff. Louisiana, you know, of course, is the home of voodoo. But it's talking about Louisiana and the vampire Comte de Saint Germain. I don't know French, so whatever. Why it's creepy. Okay, I'm just going to read this. As far as spooky stuff goes, Louisiana does not rely solely on voodoo or hoodoo, ghosts, and Woody Harrelson's accent from The True Detective. But they talk about this Jacques Saint Germain hobby of seducing attractive young women in New Orleans, only to promptly drink their blood. By some accounts, he was born in the early 1700s, and others, he has been alive since Christ. After dying in 1783, he was spotted all over Europe before reappearing to terrorize New Orleans in 1902, still on his blood-drinking binge in the French Quarter today, though now he just goes by Jack. Where did it come from? They say he was certainly a real person, an alchemist, which is really a pharmacist, right? All around high society snob, rendered a laundry list of famous 18th century luminaries. He ran with crews including King Louis the 15th, Catherine the Great, the philosopher Voltaire, who said he was a man who never dies and knows everything. That's just really creepy, isn't it? So anyway, if you're in New Orleans, watch out for this guy named Jack, because we don't want you to have your blood sucked. Can I just say? That's just crazy. But that was one of the things, you know, one of the things that we asked last week was, and everybody loves the vampire story. So I just had to read that because it just reminded me of that.
So Kat's saying she never heard of, I don't know how to say that name, the Saint Germain guy, thought to be a vampire until tonight. So I'm curious as to what she had heard about him.
Well, now he goes by the name Jack. Jack Saint Germain is what they call him. Anyway, interesting. And you know, New Orleans is such a creepy place anyway, so I hear
I love it there.
Have you been there?
Yeah, I'm hoping to go back again this year. So
are you this year? Huh?
Oh, yeah. Fine. Yeah, we were talking about, because I'd like to take, I'm going to do some scouting because I'd like to take a group, do a group event there.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought, well, I better go back and just, you know, do a little prep work.
That would be fun.
Yeah, I like it there. I think it's cool. I mean, fascinating, really, just the diversity and the cultures, and I think it's really interesting. So,
oh, for sure.
One of the other things we had talked about too was the black-eyed children.
Yes.
And you know, it's interesting because I was looking that up too, and I haven't really seen a lot of the origin of where that came from, and it doesn't look like it's that old.
No.
That I've been able to find.
Yeah, I saw the same thing. I did kind of look up that a little bit too. So what are the black-eyed children? Are they real? You know, they always say if you see one, don't look in their eyes because then something will happen to you, right? Isn't that the story?
That's what I've heard. Now, let me look here and see if I have some
information. And they say they always are asking for rides or they're asking you for something, correct? And then if you look at them, then you might become one. But what if you're an adult? Then you're not a child, but do you die? I guess I don't know what the whole story is with that one.
No, I don't, and I don't know exactly what their purpose is, but I have seen black-eyed beings, people. I don't know that there were kids. I have seen a black-eyed kid now that I think about it.
Really?
Yeah, I have seen more adults, though, than kids.
Yeah.
And it's freaky.
Do you think they're aliens? You know, like Ghost Dance is saying, are they hybrid humans or grays?
The ones that I have seen, the ones that I've seen were in the process of being taken over or run by either a really strong negative spirit, or it's possible that it could be something that would be extraterrestrial. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess I haven't thought about that aspect of it. I just assumed it was a spirit.
Yeah.
A dominating spirit.
Yeah.
But it's messed up looking. And it's weird because when you look at the person, it's like they're not there.
Yep.
And whoever is operating them, you're dealing with them.
Yeah.
And it's really, really weird because they get really upset when they know you can see. It's like the great and powerful Oz, you know, you're seeing the man behind the curtain.
Yeah.
And they get really upset when they see that, when they know that you can see behind the curtain.
Yeah.
They do not like that at all.
Remember in the X-Files when they had those people with the oily eyes?
That was gross.
That was kind of the same
scary
thing, right? That was, I don't know if it was the same
thing. I can't remember what that was, like why they had that. I can't remember if it was alien or not.
Yeah, I don't either, but I just remember the oily eye thing, and then they'd have black eyeballs too.
Yep.
That was such a good show. Too bad it's not still on.
Well, they tried to bring it back, didn't they?
Oh, they had a couple.
It wasn't the same. No, they had the
same. Well, they did have the, yeah, they did, but no, totally different.
I didn't like it.
You know, they should have never taken it off the air, because that was a good one. Ghost Dance is saying there are many stories about alien abductions resulting in pregnancy. So, okay, so maybe these black-eyed children are one of those.
And Karen's saying they're evil spirits.
Yeah.
So, Karen, do you think they're evil spirit as, like, it's the human shell, and then it's actually just the evil spirit mm-hmm. in it? I wonder if that's what she's saying. The ones that I have seen were still human, but someone was operating through them.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
For their own agenda.
Yeah. So they took over their body.
Yeah.
So what happens when that... So Heidi, you've done this. So when you have somebody come in to you that has this... So this other being in them.
Well, okay, so for whatever reason, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to explain it, but it's different than a possession.
Okay.
It is different. And I don't know if I can explain why, because the people that I have done exorcisms on didn't necessarily have the black eyes.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
But they were definitely either in an oppression or possession.
Okay.
So, but they didn't necessarily have black eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different, at least mm-hmm. the cases that I've worked on.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've done a ton of extractions. Most of them don't have black eyes. The ones that I have seen that have black eyes, yes, they're not. It's like they're not operating. They're not in full operation. Mm-hmm. But they're also not necessarily possessed. Like, how does that even make sense? But for whatever reason, that's what it is. Because obviously they're not running the show, so wouldn't that be possession? But it's different, and I don't know why. I don't know how I could even explain it.
I don't know. That's
you know
just
what I mean?
Mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean, I think it is.
It's weird, because I know that that doesn't sound right, because it sounds like I'm contradicting myself. But I've done a ton of this. You know, work with extractions and exorcisms, and I've seen a lot of black-eyed people, mm-hmm. and it's different. It is. It is different.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know why I can't
I don't like to talk
explain
about it.
But
yeah, icky. I just
anyway, we're both like pondering here.
I know.
We can't do that on the radio.
Because I know, because we do just sit here and look around a little bit and try to think of what we're saying.
It's like we're sitting here thinking about it, and then we realize we can't stop talking.
Yeah, because we're the ones on the radio. Oh, well. Yeah, so, well, good subject matter for sure. But
yeah, Mike is saying, is it a spirit hack of the mental webcam? Possibly. Yeah, that's exactly. Possible. But the spirit of the ones with the black-eyed people are always there. Yeah, so they're always behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And the people that I have seen, the majority of the people that I have seen are actually the spiritual field. So they're doing this same kind of work that I do. But they've tapped into a helpful, I'm using air quotes because nobody can see me, helpful spirit. And the spirit over time is really malevolent. But it makes them think, like, oh, you're getting good stuff. Like, you're a really good medium.
He's taking them over.
Right. But it's not possession. It's not the same thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because they're doing it to a bunch of people. And these people can go about their lives and do all their things and not, mm-hmm. you know. But this being is like this puppet master. And I don't know why it's different. It really is. And I don't have right words to say why it's different.
Yeah.
But most of them that I've seen is... That's what's happened. And I want to stay far, far away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And they want me to stay far, far away from them too, because the puppet master doesn't like that I can see them.
100%. Mm-hmm.
So usually those people don't want to be around me either.
Yeah.
Which works out well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Ugh. Whatever. Well.
All sorts of fun personal stories.
Yeah, icky story.
I have a grab bag of good stuff here.
No kidding. Well.
Well, before we're done with the show tonight, we should talk about our show next week. But this was a good topic, and I think we could talk about Urban Legends again. Was this a listen? This might have been a listener topic, wasn't it? Or no, it was because
It was because I watched that movie, The Thin Man. I had my list, and I said, okay, we could talk about this, this, this. But I watched this movie this weekend called The Thin Man.
Maybe and we are working on that.
Yes,
we are working on the list.
The list. Yeah.
We're trying to get some people that can maybe help us with some of it. But so good topic. We'll have to do this one again. Maybe talk about other urban legends.
Yeah, for sure. That would be awesome. And then next week we have on Katie Elizabeth. So we're going to be talking lake monsters next week. She is a researcher out in New York State. And she researches at Lake Champlain and Champlain, I'm not really sure how to pronounce it, but there's a lake monster there named Chappie. And this woman is full-time researcher. She has an office and everything. She's funded.
That's super cool.
I know. So I can't wait to hear what she's found. And she's a friend of mine on Facebook. So I do see, pictures and stuff. I mean, it's amazing stuff. But I'm hoping she can help us with our search for Pepe and the monster up there in Leech Lake. And, there's supposed to be one in Superior, too. So they're kind of all over the land of 10,000 lakes. Chappie. See, Sherry knows about him. So that'll be really fun. And then the following week, we're going to be talking about astro projection again, correct?
Out-of-body experience.
Out-of-body. Yeah.
Yep. We have Bob Peterson joining us again, who was on with us over a year ago now. And it was really fun to have him on the show, and people just loved that topic. And he's written a ton of books on the subject. So we're going to have him back as a guest.
Yep. And Squatchers will be up north this weekend. We have a Squatch chat going on in Epi, Minnesota. So if you live anywhere in the Northland, come see us. It's you can go to our Facebook page and find out the details, but it's at one of the local taverns up there. I think we're starting at 5 p.m. So that'll be really fun. And we're meeting with a bunch of researchers up there as well. So I hope I have some good stories to tell next week on the show for a little bit anyway. Or maybe we have a whole show about Bigfoot and cryptids and stuff, because I'm sure we'll get a lot of stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
We always when we're hanging around up there, but we're going to be doing some squatching too. So, my hope is we find another trail of footprints like we did last year at this time.
That would be great.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how far out we can go because I hear the snow is even deeper up there than it is here. But
yeah, well, hopefully by this weekend, you won't get more.
Yeah, exactly. So. What's on your agenda this weekend? Are you investigating?
What are you doing? I'm working at the studio this weekend, and I actually have some home clearings coming up, so I might have some stories for our next show, or our next show that we're going to be able to talk. But yeah, I've got some home clearings. I was at an expo this last weekend, and I had a couple of people. It's weird how many people came up to the table and would like point and go, "There she is," and I'm like, "Huh? What?" And they're like, You do, and they came up. It's a spiritual expo, and they are coming up to me about paranormal, which is funny. And so, but I did get a couple of people that came up and said, "Hey, we're going to need you to come over for a home clearing." So, hopefully, I'll get to those soon, and then I'll have some maybe some interesting stories to tell.
Yeah. Well, we all seem to find some good ones, so that's awesome. So, well, I think we have to wrap it up. Just a plug for our brother show, the Calling, which is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The Para X Network. Be don't be square. Watch them. Try that marshmallow challenge or whatever. Did they chubby bunny challenge?
I have not heard about it. I'm supposed to hear about it from you, and then.
Oh, well, I know we're supposed to do it. Maybe we can do that and send it to them. I don't know. You're supposed to stuff marshmallows in your mouth on video and see how many you can get in there and talk.
I'm not
about
doing
the
that.
Chubby bunny.
I'm not doing that. Thanks. I'm done.
Heidi,
I'm out.
Absolutely not.
Nope.
Jerry from The Calling is listening. So.
Nope.
Heidi says no.
Anyway, we're going to wrap it up on that note. And thank you to Para X for hosting. Thank you, Sarge, our most awesome producer ever. And everybody that tuned in, either listening or in the chat room, we really appreciate you being here. Thank you to Superfan Anita and our guest audience. Woo!
Yay! Woo!
And we'll tune in next week and have a great week, everyone.
Bye now.